Desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon. I know it's a time that we can all get drowsy, and the thought that I have is not a earth-shattering something that will keep you on the edge of your seat for the sake of novelty, but I'd like for us to explore something here just a little bit. Maybe help us be a little better equipped in our efforts to be Christians in the time and age that we live in. If I was going to write something on the board, I would probably write down something like spiritual maintenance. And most of us, when we hear the word maintenance, it sounds like drudgery. We don't really look forward to that. My mother-in-law was in business for herself many years in the same community that I worked, and she sold new things. And I knew her customers personally just like she knew them. And when they were in her place of business, they were a different customer than when they were in the place of business that I was employed. When they were in her business, they had already been sitting at home and thinking about purchasing something new. And they had worked their appetite up, and they was prepared to turn loose of money when they came to her place. But when they came to the place where I worked, they were there because they didn't have any other choice to a great extent. They were in there for maintenance or repairs. And it's a totally different customer to deal with, even though they have the same name and look the same, as when you're dealing with someone that's purchasing something new and when someone is having to turn loose of money for repairs. They might be willing to spend several hundred dollars for a new piece of machinery, or maybe several thousand dollars, or even something of that nature. But when you tell them that they need to spend $1,000 and all you're doing is maintenance, immediately there's apprehension, and they begin to pull back and wonder what they can do without and still get by. Well, in my course of my occupation, the things that have really appealed to people is extended maintenance schedules. Batteries that say maintenance free on the top of them. Most of us, if you're 40 or 50 years old or older today, I'm sure you remember raising the hood on your car and seeing all these little caps that unscrewed off the top of the battery. Well, very, very few have that now. They'll say right on the top, maintenance free, or do not open, or something of that nature. And we like that. We put siding on our houses that are supposed to be maintenance free. We don't like the idea of having to paint our house or do other things. It's just a society we live in. We like to plant a flower. We heard something about a flower bed and a root shooting up something that was not desired in there. We don't like that. We'd like to work the soil and plant our seeds and maybe put some kind of mulch around the plants that we set out and be a maintenance-free flower bed or garden at our house. To think about spending time in our garden on a daily basis, we want the benefits, but to get up and spend an hour or two every morning before we start our day in the garden, that is apprehensive to all of us. Two of my sons are still in school. As soon as school was out earlier in the summer, we immediately the next morning I woke them up and I told them, I said, you have to get out while it's cool and you have to spend at least 1 hour in the garden. We have a pretty good sized garden at the house. You have to spend an hour. Before you do anything else, you have to spend an hour in the garden. And they have done remarkably well. And the garden is not perfect by any means, but at least it's somewhat under control as far as weeds. But spiritual maintenance, my burden this afternoon, is that we would be equipped and recognize that salvation, the Christian experience, is never going to be something that we can buy into, invest in, and it be self-sustaining without us being involved in it. If we're under that impression, I want, with the help of the Lord, to defeat that, to where we get the understanding that it is not something that we can just float along through life and expect to end up victorious and successful without doing some extensive maintenance. I like to look first in Luke, the 18th chapter, in the first verse. Jesus began to speak, but before he spoke, the writer here in Luke says, "And he, referring to Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And the story following is of the unjust judge. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's maintenance. It's something that must be done. It's not an optional feature. And we find that in our everyday walk with the Lord, this is where the devil makes inroads so successfully in our lives. I'm talking about myself here, and I find that consistent maintenance for the spiritual life and the spiritual man is something that I have to be determined to follow through with. I have a very busy life, very heavy responsibilities at times, and to push and to make sure that I do something to maintain that relationship with the Lord before I start my work day is a real contest. In every one of our homes, there are many, many other things that can distract us. Everything from family members that come into the room and ask for our input into their maybe decisions or plans, to maybe a newspaper that's laying there or something. It might even be the telephone bill or something that will distract us, and we begin to focus on that rather than to put something in our minds and in our hearts before we begin our day. But without maintenance, we see a lot of failures in my line of work of fixing automobiles because of a lack of maintenance. And it's really difficult to evaluate the extent of damage that poor maintenance causes. It's hard to say, if you'll just repair this one little thing here, that it'll take care of all of the neglected maintenance. Usually, to accurately repair overlooked maintenance is very, very expensive. Lack of maintenance in our spiritual life will get you in a place where it is very, very costly. You have to do your first works over many times. They're realizing that my lack of maintenance has got me into a place that you don't know where you stand. You don't know what's right, and you don't know what's wrong. You can get in a place because of a lack of maintenance that you're in a dilapidated state. Many people come in, and when they realize their lack of maintenance has caught up with them, they won't spend the money. They decide it's better to trade, to get a different automobile. And you know, the enemy would like to get us in a state of dilapidated spiritual walk with the Lord, to the point that we decide to trade our allegiance to something else. It's not worth it anymore. I buy most of my vehicles wounded, and most of them come to me because somebody else chose not to fix it. And I buy them because I can fix it, and because somebody else has given up, and it's worth almost nothing to them, so that's why I can buy it. They're willing to turn loose of it for just a song, and I take it and band-aid it up, and then that's what we drive. But the devil wants to come along and suggest to you, when you get in a dilapidated state, when we failed to exercise ourselves and to pray as often as we ought to study, to shew ourselves, and we have failed to do that, we get in a place of dilapidation, if that's a real word, to the point that we decide it's not worth it. I'll just change and get something different. A different lifestyle brings a lot of heartaches many times. Let's look at 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning in possibly the 7th verse. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." It's more than a suggestion. It's more than advice. It's a command. It's an order, if you would, from headquarters. It's something that we are going to fail if we choose not to perform the maintenance that's required to maintain our spiritual walk with the Lord. Notice that verse up above there. It says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I don't know what exercise brings to your mind, but exercise to my mind brings repetitive motion to mind. It's not the one-time lunge and effort and strain. It's doing it over and over and over again. Many times in our efforts to maybe become more trim or lean or gain strength or something of that in the natural state, many times we become distracted because we're tired of running on the treadmill, and because we're tired of doing setups, and we're tired of doing push-ups and all of those things that would help us gain and maintain the muscle mass that we're trying to achieve. But we discard that because I'm bored. I'm bored with doing this exercise. It's not exciting anymore. The first time maybe is maybe kind of thrilling, but you know, after hundreds of times of repeating the same thing, it gets kind of boring. And you know, that's the avenue that the enemy appeals to us. This scripture says that we ought to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. It's not, every day is a new day. Every day is a new, there's new opportunities and new prospects. But there are many things that we have to repeat. We don't have to necessarily read the same verse, the same chapter. There's many pages in our scripture to read. But we're contending with something in our everyday life that started way back over in the third chapter of Genesis. If we want to go read over there, we find that God told Adam there was something he was going to have to deal with. I believe it's about 3 and 18 or 19, somewhere along in here. It says in the 19th verse, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it was taken..." I'm looking for the one that says that the ground will be cursed. 17th verse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Cursed is the ground. Sin brought a liability to us to maintain a relationship with the Lord. There is something here that we have to persevere at. The Scripture teaches us to endure hardness as a good soldier. We must apply ourselves to this. I'd like for us to just maybe stick our finger in the page there and turn our Bible all the way over to Revelations, the 22nd chapter, and we'll begin reading in the third verse, or the first verse, I believe. And he says, and he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now that's what they got excluded from in the garden, was it not? Which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. So if we just take our Bible and hold it up, look at what's in between there. Almost the entire book is subject to the curse. The time that I'm living in right now is subject to the curse. The curse of sin. And it takes, we are fooling ourselves to think that our spiritual life and our contact with God will not deteriorate if I don't do my maintenance. We as mankind are enamored, I guess would be a good word, with the idea of no maintenance and low maintenance. From time to time I'll hear something like some device that you can wire into your house, and when you turn it on, it makes more electricity than it uses. That's something that we would like, wouldn't it? Wouldn't we like something that we could just plug in and wire into our house and maybe crank start it and just turn it loose, and as it ran, it would produce more than it... There are so many dreams like that out there. And many, many efforts have been made in our industry, in this world, to try to achieve a higher efficiency. When I go to my job, it's in my best interest to be as efficient as possible, to be as careful and diligent with what I'm doing, to get more work completed, because it looks a whole lot better on payday if I complete more work. And I have to use my head all the time to try to make sure that I'm not wasting steps and not wasting effort. That's just part of mankind in the world. We want to be more efficient. We would like the idea of gaining more than we put in. But the reality is we live under a dispensation of the curse of sin. The curse of sin is all around us. If we walk out in the world, in the atmosphere, the society that we live in, many times we come in feeling attacked and oppressed by all of the things that's out there, and we are fooling ourselves to think that I can have some kind of name it and claim it Christianity and be successful. There's false doctrine out there that teaches us that once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, that's a pipe dream at the best. Because we are not going to be able to maintain a relationship with the Lord by just making a one-time investment. We have to stay alert, keep our eyes open all of the time. We cannot allow our maintenance schedule to deteriorate. If we do, what happens? It starts crumbling in around us. I wonder how many of us would like a house that had wood shingles and wood siding, and maybe even farther back than that, maybe a thatch roof, one that you knew you was going to have to replace probably at least once a year, and mud chinking between the logs to where you had to re-chink the logs every season because of rain and frost and all of that. None of us would want to move in. And we might like it for a little cabin down by the lake or something like that. But to live in a house like that with dirt floors, to sweep a dirt, how many of us would like that? We want floors that we don't even have to mix up mop water for. Just kind of run over it with a dust cloth or something like that. But our spiritual life. What I want us to go away with more than anything else is the real... You know, half the job is figuring out what you got to do. Or maybe more. Many times on my job, I'm faced with perplexing things. And half the job is figuring out what I'm supposed to do. Trying to determine exactly what mode of attack I'm supposed to have here. That's the biggest part of the job many times. And once I figure out the direction I'm going, the rest of it is just kind of going through the motions. And if we go away here thinking or hoping that this deal of living for God is just kind of a, well, it's kind of a shoe-in. It's just, if you think that, I want you to readjust your thinking this afternoon. It's not something that you're just going to stumble in and make it there. I'm going to have to be determined to do the maintenance that's required. Let's turn back to Luke. Common scriptures from reading to you today. Look in Luke, the 21st chapter. Again, reading in the 29th verse. It says, "And he spake unto them a parable. Behold, the fig tree, and all the trees, not just a fig tree. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see those things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You can bank on this fundamental thought that I'm trying to deal with this afternoon. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." It's so easy to become overcharged with the cares of life. It's so easy to become overcharged with this sense of responsibility and duty of following through with the daily activities in my home and in my occupation and maybe going through some of the other components of my life. It seems like there are times that I just become, I can't see the end of the tunnel, so to speak. You feel overpressed with that, and I'll never be able to catch up on all the things that you need to do. It's so easy to take on more projects and more. I get in trouble for that at my house. Of taking on more and more projects. More and more things that you could do. Maybe they're to help somebody. Maybe they are somebody else is really in need. And what do you do? You could, but should you? You see, it's easy for us to get overcharged with the cares of every. It may be good things. Maybe there's somebody else that really does need the type of expertise that you have. And it's easy to get overcharged with that. And you know, many times when we do that, we begin to extend ourselves and extend. I'm talking to me today. I hope you get that too. I'm talking to me. I can become overcharged to the point that I recognize that my maintenance is not up to what it should be. It's not there where it ought to be. I like to keep vehicles that I have in a state of repair that all I have to worry about is affording the gas or the fuel to get there. Very few times have we had a breakdown, and I'm very thankful for that. But it's not because of any superior ability that I have. It's because that I do my best to keep the maintenance up. Now notice here in the 35th verse, he says, "For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the earth." Lack of maintenance is going to sneak up on you. Up until the most common complaint of a breakdown that I see on a repair order is, I was just driving down the road and it quit running. It was like a snare. It just snuck up on them. They didn't realize. Didn't know anything was happening. We can ask them, did you hear some kind of noise? Or did you smell something? Or did you see some smoke? No, I was just driving down the road and it quit pulling. It quit moving. And I had to get off to the side of the road. And it's like, did you check anything before you took off on this trip? Well, no. When's the last time you done so? Well, I haven't been very good about my maintenance. Well, that's the way it is in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We'll be going along and the cares of life, obligating ourselves to this and that and something else, and postponing taking the time to ask the Lord to go with us that day. And taking the time to read some of the Word. And to allow our minds to meditate on something other than these dilemmas that I'm trying to fix in my everyday life. And whether I can make it to work on time and get all of my other tasks done in the evening. It says like a snare. A snare is not something we're planning on. It's not something that has a big sign on it that says snare. And we step in it and before we know it, we're caught. Before we know it, it's got us in a hole that we can't get out of without help. The devil would like to get you in that place and me as well. All of us here, none of us are exempt. He'd like to get us in a place to where we're snared just due to a lack of maintenance. Then the last verse we want to read, it says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." That sounds like that other verse, don't it? "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Be worthy to escape, it said. My brother and I, he does the same thing I do for a living, in case you want to know. But we would go down the road, and as I did anyway, we used to, in our own little way, we used to wish we could have a flat. Because the idea of stopping alongside the road, you know, traveling is boring for a small child. And the idea of being able to stop and get the lug wrench and the jack and all of that out and jack the car up and take the tire off. I mean, we've done that with our toys. We took the wheels off and put them back on all the time. And the idea of being able to stop and break this monotony of going down the road and changing a flat, we just wish that would happen. But my dad done too good a job with his maintenance. He'd check his air and his tires. And all of that before we'd take off. And, you know, I can't really remember. He's sitting here. He can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't really remember all the times of going to camp meeting or visiting relatives or anything, long distance traveling. I don't ever remember hearing that flopping sound of the flat tire. So I've been disappointed all growing up, but just because my dad done the maintenance that caused him to be able to escape that, I know that he wasn't praying that prayer. And he was thankful when we got to our destination that we made it safely. And we didn't have a flat tire. And Michael and I were disappointed because we'd like to have a breakdown. But see, if we'll keep our maintenance up, we'll be able to escape the snares, the things that we didn't realize was out there, the pitfalls that comes because I don't keep my prayer life up. I don't diligently do my best to surrender my problems to the Lord. And I'm cruising along life, and the first snare that may come along is to begin to be irritable with my family. And then I begin to be maybe irritable on my job. And I begin to be difficult to get along with and hard to please. And then I begin to procrastinate about other things Maybe taking time for family worship. See, that's part of maintenance too. That's part of teaching our family how to have maintenance in their lives. I'd like to leave this thought on a positive note. So let's turn back over to Proverbs in the 13th chapter. And notice in the 4th verse. Well, we'll just start in the 1st verse. It says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Now there's some negative points that we've read so far, but I like the last part of that verse. It says, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen. We can have spiritual fatness, and it looks good on people. To be fat spiritually, it looks real good. And not only does it look good, but it smells good and it tastes good. Spiritual fatness is something that will cause others to take notice. And others may make comments of, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't handle a situation like that the way you did. That's fatness, see? But you don't get that way by skimping on your maintenance. If you skimp on our natural food, the most likely thing is we're going to lose weight and we're going to lose strength. And if we skip on our, this is very basic. This is fundamental. I just want to refresh our memory and refresh our minds and defeat the enemy that would like to sell and market us a low maintenance salvation. There is no such thing. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but there is no such thing as a low maintenance salvation. It's not something that, I think they have lawnmowers now that you can get started out in the yard and they're robotic of some nature. And you can just kind of turn them loose and they'll cut your grass while you're sitting in the house. Now, that sounds pretty good. We could beat the heat of the day. But there's no salvation experience like that. The Scripture tells me I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I have to be diligent about praying and communicating to the Lord. I have to put something in my mind besides the headlines of the paper. I'm not saying we can't see what's in the newspaper, but we got to put something else in there. Something that the Lord can work with during the day. I have to cultivate an appetite to do maintenance. To do exercise myself to godliness. If I fail to exercise myself rather unto godliness, I'm going to be a skinny Christian. And a skinny Christian just don't survive very good in the world that we have around us today. Skinny Christians just don't hold up very good under pressure. So you pray for me. I want to be diligent. I want to do better. I'm preaching to myself this afternoon and I want to do better. So you pray for me.